Good morning, everybody. Take your Bibles and open them up to 2 Chronicles 25:9. 2 Chronicles 25:9. And this morning I want to share one verse of Scripture with you and tell you several stories. And you've heard me say before that Jesus told stories, and it's wonderful to have those stories because you hear that story and the whole truth comes back to you. You know, a man had two sons. One asked for the money, went away. You know that story. A man went from Jerusalem down to Jericho. He fell among thieves. The whole story comes bouncing back to you. On it goes that way. And that story comes back. This morning I want to tell you three short stories. Often we use many texts, and that's appropriate. Study the Bible. But this morning I want to have one memory verse. And some of you have heard me tell this little verse before, so you've maybe memorized it. But if you haven't, for many of you it'll be brand new. Many of you have never found it before, but it's a memory verse. It's been a blessing to me, and it's in 2 Chronicles 25:9. And Amaziah said to the man of God, "What shall I do for the 100 talents which I have given to the army of Israel?" And the man of God answered, "The Lord is able to give thee much more than this." Now, is that a wonderful promise? Say it with me. The Lord is able to give thee much more than this. What do you need this morning? Do you need a husband? Do you need a wife? Do you need a job? Anybody sick? Are you facing some crisis in your life? The Lord says, "I'll give you much more than you ever dreamed possible." He's always able to do that. He's able to do it in our personal lives. He's able to do it for the local church. He's able to do it for the conference. He's able to do it for the worldwide church. That's our God. He's able to do much more than we've ever dreamed possible. Amaziah was planning a military campaign. He had 300,000 soldiers ready to go to battle, and he thought he had enough, but then he hired 100,000 from the northern tribes, and now he had 400,000. He thought for sure now he's ready to go to battle, but just then the prophet of the Lord came and said, "Do not take those 100,000 men with you. If you do, the Lord will not be with you." Well, he wanted the Lord with him, of course, but he'd had a problem. He paid 100 talents of silver for these mercenaries. And that was his question. What shall I do for the 100 talents of silver? I paid it. They won't give it back. What shall I do about that money? And the prophet answered that with a spiritual theorem. The Lord is able to give thee much more than 100 talents of silver. Just be faithful to God. Don't worry about anything else. Do you remember your mathematics? I took every math class my high school offered. Every one. I enjoyed math. It was easy for me. It was fun to go to class. And other people would hang their head and want the teacher to call them, and it's kind of fun to know the answer. But you got to learn the theorems. Don't get behind in math. You're really lost then. Got to know, you got to keep up. Some of you are math teachers, so you know all about that. Here's a spiritual theorem. You learn those theorems, and you can solve the problems. And here is one that helps us solve problems. The Lord is able to give thee much more than we've ever dreamed possible. That's the kind of God we serve. First story is about Abram LaRue. Abram LaRue was the first missionary to the Far East. He was a sailor most of his life. When he was an old man, he settled down in Healdsburg, California, and he bought some sheep. And he let them graze over those hills over there in Healdsburg, California, and one day a coal porter came by. I like coal porters. I spent 5 summers canvassing. I made more money canvassing than anything I ever did. In 1955, I sold enough books by July 15 to buy a new car, new Chevrolet. It was exactly what I wanted. Do you remember any members 55 Chevrolets? Anybody old enough to remember that? Whoo, it was a hot little V8. First time Chevrolet made a V8 car. It was exactly the color I wanted, pink and gray, coupe. And it sat there in the Chevrolet car lot all summer long, and I drove by it every day. I had a good little car. I had a 53 Chevy. It only had 16,000 miles on it. You can tell I like a nice car, but anyway. And so I drove by it every day, and it was sitting there and sitting there. And so on July 15, I went in and I said, "You haven't sold that car. I can't sell it." "Why?" "The farmers can't get a cream can in the back seat because it's a little sport coupe, you know, and I can't sell it. You can't get a cream can in the back seat." Well, that's the last thing I wanted to haul around was a cream can anyway. And so bought that new car, selling books, with God's help, of course. So the Lord is able to do all kinds of wonderful things. Now, Abram LaRue met a coal porter. My, we ought to have more coal porters. I'm so disappointed with how we have let the coal porter work fall completely into the ditch. And, you sell books. Now, over here at the ABC, there's a book you want to buy before you go home. It's Christian Service. It isn't this little format, but Paul Glenn asked me, can you sell this, Maury? I said, yes, I'll push it. And also, there's two other books over there you should go home with. It's God Cares, Daniel and Revelation by Maxwell. And he sent a good supply of them over there for you. And he's got a special price on Christian Service. If you're going to buy one soul-winning book, this is the one. Take your Bible and take this. And Acts of the Apostles. Read those books. It'll charge your battery. Read Acts of the Apostles. My, oh my. You know, the last chapter, it says those early apostles, they attempted much because they believed God would do great things for them. So they attempted much. Be bold. Be brave. Some of you should go home and do some things you've never done before. Where's that lady that just been holding meetings? Right here. I can tell by her face that she has been preaching. It's a glow in her face and a brightness in her face. She didn't have that before. I know she didn't, because when you preach, if you share the message, something's going to happen to you. Well, here's Abram Maru out there taking care of sheep. Cole Porter came by and sold him some books. He read them and he became a Seventh-day Adventist. Now he said, I'll go be a Cole Porter too. So he went out and selling books. He sold books to a man who later became the president of Pacific Union College. But after he had sold books for a little while, he thought, you know, I want to be a missionary. And so he wrote a letter to the General Conference, and he said, I'm going to go as a missionary to China. And they wrote back a very kind little letter and said, we can't take you. You don't have a wife. And what could a man do without a wife? Not much, of course. So they said, China's a big country. You might get lost out there by yourself. So why don't you go work on an island? And he remembered that Hong Kong is an island. Do you know anything about Hong Kong? Anybody been to Hong Kong? Some of you must have been to Hong Kong. Well, anyway, I've been there scores of times, traveled there back and forth all the time. Hong Kong is an island. And so he remembered that Hong Kong is an island. Okay, brethren, I'll go work on an island. And then it's just a little ways into China. And so he went down to the wharf, met a captain that he used to work for on a ship. I'm going to go to Hong Kong and I work my way. Come on board. Well, I can't work on Saturdays, captain said. We'll work around that. Not a problem. Come on board. And he worked his way to Hong Kong. He arrived there in 1888. First Seventh-day Adventist in the Far East, Abram Maru, a layman. You know I like that, a layman. I've been training laymen for almost 40 years. It's wonderful to see what happens, people. You know, they, like this girl here, this lady, you know, something changes. And your presence brought my friend Bob Falkenberg over here and his team and share him. I've been with him overseas, and he's been to my home. He's been over my home on his motorcycle. Do you know he has a nice gold wing? Do you know anything about motorcycles? Well, anyway, Falkenberg, he's a pilot. He rides motorcycles and so forth. He's been to our home and so forth. Anyway, so folks, I'm so glad you're doing this. This conference can be a special light to all of North America. There's times when leadership come along and something happens. So here we are, Abram Maru. He arrives in Hong Kong, 1888. First Seventh-day Adventist for the millions of China, Japan, Korea, Philippines, Indonesia, Malaysia. One man. What can one man do? One man can do a lot when he or she, a woman, is fully dedicated to the Lord. Here it says in this book, whenever there is a revival, some individual leads out in the revival. Isn't that interesting? When I read that years ago, I said, Lord, wherever you put me, I want to be that kind of man. Wherever you put me, Lord, I want to be that kind of man. God was going to send a flood. Who'd he raise up? Of course. Jesus is coming the first time. Who'd he raise up? John the Baptist. That's how God works. You know, the angels would love to come down here and do this work. Sometimes I say, well, Lord, are you ready to send the angels? They're ready to come. Up in heaven, on an evening recently, Jesus was walking, and he walked over into the area where all those new houses are for us. They're all there, ready to come. And the angels walked over there, and when Jesus goes over there in those new houses, sadness comes over his face. And the disciples, the angels recognized that right away, and they said, Jesus, what is it? You're so sad. I've got all these homes, and they're not here. And the angel said, what plan have you made, Lord, to tell the world so they can get ready? I left a few people to tell others, to teach others. But the angel said, do you have any other plan, Lord? And the Lord says, I don't have any other plan. That's an allegory, of course, as you recognize. but I think it can be true. I have no other plan. God has only the plan to use us. We humble people, he wants to use us. What a privilege to share. Is that true? Abram Meru, there he is, one man for all the millions of the Orient. Where should we begin? Well, he started to study Chinese, but it takes two lifetimes to learn Chinese. You have to be reincarnated and come back and finish the job. First, you've got to decide which one to study. There's Mandarin, there's a big one, then there's Cantonese, and there's a whole bunch of dialects, too. I've traveled all over China, been there many, many times. Traveled all over China with a dictionary. You know you can go anywhere with a dictionary. Traveled all over Russia with a dictionary, all by myself. And, you know, one time I was way out there in the middle of China, staying in a little hotel, and I was putting teachers over there and going to the university to see if they'd take our teachers and so forth. And I was in a little town out there, way out there. And I thought, there's not a person who knows where I'm at. But God knows exactly where I'm at. Right where I'm at. Well, so here he is. He's beginning to study the language, so forth. And took a while. But Hong Kong is a trans-shipping port. Singapore is another. Some of the ships never even come into port. They're out there in the harbor. And there's 200 ships out there every day. Same way in Singapore. They come from Rotterdam. They come from England. And, you know, they come from Sydney and Korea. And they changed their cargo right out there. It's amazing. And so he went down there and he got on a ship. That was easy. He's a sailor and he knows how to talk to sailors. And one day he sold books to two British sailors in Hong Kong Harbor. They read those books all the way back to England and both of them became Seventh-day Adventists. Somebody ought to say amen. And so one of them married. Time went by. They didn't have any children, so they adopted a little girl. They reared her to be a Seventh-day Adventist. And when she was later older, she fell in love with a young man, and they were married, went to Canada, and didn't stay there too long. Then they went on to the Philippine Islands. Their name was Murdoch. His brother taught later at the seminary at Andrews. Murdoch went out to the Philippine Islands, and through their ministry, thousands of Filipinos became Seventh-day Adventists. And then they wanted to build a school down in the south part of the Philippines. And so they said, Murdoch, you're the man. So he and his wife went down there to the sugarcane fields of South Philippines, and away out there, and they found a place where they had a stream so they could build a hydroelectric plant, have electricity, and had water for the school and so forth. Mountain View College. I've been there many times. From Cagayan de Oro, it's 5-6 hours at least on a bus. The road is just a dirt road. You stomp your foot and the dirt will come clear up in your face. The bus doesn't have any glass. It just has holes, of course. And on top of the bus, there's goats and chickens and fish. And inside, there are two seats, and then a little jump seat in the middle. And I'm always lucky I get that middle seat. And the smell is wonderful. I just wish someone had some right guard. You know, there's some people who have never had a warm bath in their whole life. Yeah, yeah, lots of people. And so forth and so on. So when you ride along in that bus, the dirt rolls in. I used to tie like a towel and towel around my face so I could just keep my nose clean anyway. And soon, we're as black as Dick's hat band. So anyway, you know, finally you get to the school, we head for the shower, and we clean up. Sabbath morning, 4 o'clock in the morning. You hear noise. What's going on? So we go out there. I go outside and look. Students are coming out of the dormitories. Faculty is coming out of their faculty houses. And we have a whole line of Dodge Power Wagons there that we bought from the U.S. Air Force and the Navy there, Subic Bay and so forth there. I was the adjunct director for the Far Eastern Division, and we bought scores and scores of vehicles in Philippines. And one day the Filipino government said, we're tired of registering all these people from all these churches. We're going to choose two. We're going to choose the Catholics because we know they're the biggest, and whoever the Protestant church is the largest, we're going to let them license all the vehicles for all the missionaries in the Philippines. And the Seventh-day Adventist is the largest. So they had to come to us. And we bought it for the Baptists and the Methodists and the Mennonites and whoever else. And they came to our office. Wasn't it nice? And, you know, they even talked nice to us. They didn't say we were a sect or any other naughty thing. So we had all these trucks lined up. It was 4 o'clock in the morning. But they're there at the college. They're getting on this bus. Dark. And they have their Bible and their quarterly and they have food and they have their shoes in their hand. They put their shoes on and they go to church. You must have seen culture like that. And when you travel overseas, it's wonderful to learn. There's so many things about people. You learn how to eat with two sticks and so forth and so on. Take your shoes off when you go in Japan. You wonder what the unpardonable sin was. It's going on tatami, that grass mat. That's the unpardonable sin if you walk in there with shoes on. So anyway, so the trucks rumble off from Mountain View College. They go down a ways and they stop, and a few people get off and walk to a village. They go more and, go another, some more. They spread them out. And they go all around. And they go back and they have Sabbath school and they have church and they have their lunch. And then they have a story hour for children. They help the sick. We have a nursing school there at Mountain View College. They take medicine back there and so forth. And then at the end of the day, they walk back down to the road. The trucks come and pick them up. And they come back to the school. Sometimes it gets 9 o'clock before they get back. The cafeteria is open. Seen there, been there. Know exactly how the truck rolls up there and they jump off of the truck and they come into the cafeteria. And what are they doing when they come in? And how are they doing it? They're singing. I'm so glad I'm a part of the family of God. I've been washed in the fountain, cleansed by his blood. Join hands with Jesus as we travel this sod. For I'm part of the family of God. Okay, they could do the Heritage Singers, really put them to shame. Anyway, so they come in singing. Do you know how to make young people happy? Train them for service. Do you know how to make a church happy? Train them for service. They won't fight anymore. If you'll train them for service, let them use their energies in visiting somebody and praying for somebody and giving Bible studies. Can somebody say amen? Amen. That's how you make a church happy. That's how you make a conference happy, too. And Larry is doing that. He's encouraging you to do that. So, Mountain View College baptizes 1,000 people every 12 months. We now have churches everywhere. All around there. Churches. We have a radio station there. I preached on that radio station. It's the only place that has electricity. It's high up on a hill. We have a water fountain there. Forgotten his name. He was as odd as a $2 bill, but nevertheless smart as can be. He built the power plant out there. He came over there, and when I was in Japan, he kind of knocked on my door one day, and I just flew across the Pacific. I said, "Would you come on Northwest or what?" He said, "I flew my own airplane." "Oh, you flew your own airplane? A 1947 Stinson." He flew across the Pacific by himself. What an interesting guy. He did surgery. He'd do surgery on a table anywhere and so forth. Anyway, he built the waterfall electric plant there in Mountain View College, and we have a growing concern there. We have people being trained for witnessing and so forth, and a nursing school and a radio station, and it's brightened up the whole Mindanao area. But where did it start? It started in Hong Kong years before with Abel Maru selling 2 books to 2 British sailors. That's where it started. And it went to England, went to the heart of a family and a little girl, and then on to the Philippines. That's where it started. So this verse has been fulfilled for Brother LaRue. The Lord is able to give thee much more than this. Say it with me. The Lord is able to give thee much more than this. How do you speak with your mouth closed? You know, I've got real good vision since I had both cataracts done. If you don't speak, I'm going to ask you to stand by yourself. You say, "Maury, would you do that? You don't know me very well yet, do you?" Say it with me. The Lord is able to give thee much more than this. What do you need? Do you need a wife? Do you need a husband? Anybody sick? Do you need a job? Are you discouraged? Are you facing some crisis? Go to your bedroom and open this Bible and kneel down and pray and say, "Lord, I don't know what to do, but you've promised to do much more than I've ever dreamed possible. Lord, I need your help. I need your help." You ever face a crisis? Maybe you've never had a crisis in your life. Maybe you've never had one, but most of us have. And when you face one of those, you got to have some place to turn to. And here's the place to turn to. Lord, you're able to do something wonderful, and I'm counting on it. And Lord, I don't know what to do, but you tell me. Sometimes it's the strangest thing you've ever heard of, and so the Lord will lead you. He often leads you to places you don't want to go. Often, over and over. But then he'll bless you there. Well, one day, Brother LaRue, down there, Hong Kong Harbor, he went down and he met a German sailor. "Where are you going?" "I'm going down to the South Seas." "Would you take a box for me?" "Of course." In the Pacific, there is a plan out in those islands. It's been in shape for more than 200 years. And things will go to a place, and it's locked up, and a ship goes somewhere else. It goes there, and maybe it'll make, 6 weeks, 2 months to go to these islands. "We take a box, of course." All the sailors know about that. So ship was reloading and refueling, and Brother Rue returned, found his sailor friend, and He said, "Here's the box." And he handed it to him. And the sailor glanced down at the box and said, "Sir, you don't have any name on this box. You don't have any island. Where's it going? You forgot to put the name. Where's what island?" Brother Lou said, "That's my problem. I don't know anybody out there. I want you to find someone. You pick an island. You pick a family. Choose someone that is a leader in the community. Pick some family that's a leader in the community. Give him this box." Oh, my. He'd never had a request like that. The other one, he's a routine. It's, you know, you pull into the port, and you have some whole staff and the sailors, and you take the cargo off, and you put it there. And here's, now he's got to go find someone to give the box to. But he'd made his promise. He said he'd take it. So he took that box from this crazy American, and he sailed away. When he got to Koror, Palau, he said, "Here's where I get rid of the box. Palau is the island, Koror is the city. I've been there, I know exactly where it is." And he kicked that box, he walked out on the street. "Who shall I give it to? You know, who shall I give it to?" And then he inquired, "Who's a leader? Who's a family?" And the Orient, you say family, maybe 25 people. Grandpa and uncles and everything and so forth. That's the way family is, a unit. Anyway, there's a family over there. The leader in the community. Definitely, that's a leader in the community. There's the one. So he went over to this man. "Does that have a box for you?" "You do. Who's it from?" "Mr. LaRue in Hong Kong." "I don't know Mr. LaRue. Must be some mistake." "There's no mistake. Take the box." He got rid of it. He went on his way. The man opened up the box. What do you suppose he found? Books, of course. The man began to read, study, found the Sabbath. My, my, that's interesting. Never dreamed the Sabbath was on Saturday. Told his wife, told grandpa, told dad, uncles. They had a family council. These people were trading with the Japanese, selling them palm oil and fruit and coconuts and so forth. And so they told the Japanese businessman, we'll not be working anymore on Sabbath. It's Saturday. Well, we just found out that's God's holy day. And so we're going to keep the Sabbath. Our family is going to keep the Sabbath. I'm going to work. So the Japanese man said, "That's very interesting. Because I met a man up in Japan that had that same crazy idea. He wouldn't let you deliver stuff on Saturday. We didn't pay any attention to him. We just came there anyway. And he wouldn't let us unload. Wow, does that ever a jolt to our business?" And so I never forgot that. "What's his name?" "Armstrong." "Where's he live?" "I can't remember. He's in Tokyo." "Tokyo. This man wrote a letter. Armstrong, Tokyo, Japan," and mailed it. No address, no zip. "Armstrong, Tokyo, Japan," and he mailed the letter, and it came to Amanuma, Ongikubo, right where our hospital is right now. Our mission office was there. We had one little daughter, made in Japan, born there. And I know exactly where the place is. And there's where our mission was, in Amanuma, Ongikubo. And got a letter all the way from Koror, Palau, Armstrong, Tokyo, Japan. I think the angels led it there, came there. He says, "We just found out about the Sabbath. And we have a Japanese business associate. He said that you also keep the Sabbath. Do you have anything more to share with us?" So this Brother Armstrong packed a little bag, went down to Yokohama, bought a ticket on a boat. I don't know if he had permission, Brother Bogus, to do that or not. You know, every time I traveled, I had to get permission from somebody that I could travel and so forth and so on. But I don't know what he did. Anyway, he went. Sailed all the way from Yokohama to Palau. It's about 3,000 miles. You look on the map. Way down there. South. Came there. Had the letter. Found the family. "Yes, there's a few more things you ought to know." So he stayed with them. Every night they studied the Bible. And in a few weeks, he says, "Now you can be baptized. And I'm ready to baptize you." All right. He baptized that one family. And now the family said, "What should we do?" "Well, you should build a church." "Okay, we'll build a church." They were rich. "What else?" "You ought to build a school." "Okay, we'll build a school." "Build a school. I preached in that church. It's just been replaced." My daughter and my son-in-law, he was a treasurer of Guam Micronesia Mission for 6 years. They just built a new church. He was there for the dedication of the new church. But the old one was there. I preached in the old one. And then the school, I preached in the school too, there, Koror, Palau. And from there, we reached out to other islands, Peleliu over there, and over there, and another island, and so forth. And so we have a whole group of believers down there now. Koror, Palau, church, school, are reaching out to the islands. And where'd that start? Well, it started in Hong Kong. Here, Brother LaRue, this verse has been fulfilled for him. The Lord is able to give thee much more than this. Say it with me. The Lord is able to give thee much more than this. What do you need today? Do you need a wife? Do you need a husband? Anybody sick? You need a job? What do you need today? Our God is able to give you much more than you've ever dreamed possible. That's the kind of God we serve. And here in this conference, your conference is setting a tone. Go right and share him. And now, every church is to be a training school. Every church. My. Some of you people, you've been afraid to work. Here it says in here, many would be willing to work if they were taught how to begin. That's how simple it is. There's a couple over here, just been baptized. I saw them baptized. They've been studying for 18 years. Dr. LaVos, I know him. He was in Korea in the army. I was over there 35 years ago. And that little boy, I had the privilege of dedicating that little boy. He's now a dentist. Well, I have one more story. It's my own story. I've told you already. 46 years ago, we were holding meetings in Sacramento. And we had an auditorium. It would hold 700 people. And we could fill it twice a night, believe it or not. Twice a night. Times were different. People just were not hooked on all the things of the world so much. And I could fill that thing twice a night. We had billboards in all the freeways in Sacramento. And it was kind of fun. You know, preached to people. Had a Bible class going on. We baptized a whole number of people. My, you know, that's wonderful. And I got a letter from the General Conference, highest authority on earth. Brother Bascom, would you go to Japan? Well, sure. We're young and foolish. Why not go to Japan? So we went to Japan. And they assigned me to Osaka, number two city in Japan. It's bigger than Chicago. And I put out 1 million handbills in a little corner of Osaka. And I got just a handful of people, just a handful, empty chairs everywhere. My, I was so startled, you know. I found out things that worked in Sacramento didn't work over there. And I thought, all I could think about is going back to California. That's all I could think about. Blow up that auditorium again. You know, people would come to that auditorium just to see if it'd fall down. And we had a standby generator. If electricity failed, that thing would come on automatically. And we had pipes in there, too, to hold it up in case that failed. But nevertheless, now I'm in Japan. Lord, what do I do over here? What do I do over here? It's no fun to preach to empty chairs. You can't baptize empty chairs. You got to have some people sitting in those chairs. And people came and said, would you teach us English? And I swatted them away like pesky flies. My, oh my. I like math, but I didn't like English. And I told you I didn't even know what a gerund is or was, you know. Who cares what a gerund is, you know? How many verbs, how much, you know, do children learn? Do they learn grammar first? No, they just learn to talk. Give me a cookie, you know? They learn to talk. And so I made up a school. I started a little school in Osaka, Japan, and I titled it, You Too Can Speak English. And in Japanese, I made it first in Japanese, Anatomo, Engo, and Hashimas. That's beautiful Japanese. Anatomo, Engo, and Hashimas. And I made a sign, little sign, put it out there on the street. You two can speak English. And brother, the people came. Whew. The people came. Started small, but it just grew quickly. Wow. We had 12 students first night, and soon we had 24, soon we had 100, soon we had 200. Now we didn't know what to do. And so now we began to call student missionaries. And we called older people. And I told you about hiring the lady 65 and 68, didn't I, the other night? Told you about that. Don't put old people down. My, don't put old people down. Give me an old duffer that'll come on time to work. He doesn't get sick. And he's there. And a lady, you know, give me some people like that. I like the young people, too. I've taken 3,600 people overseas. I used to meet 100 of them at a time in Tokyo. I rented buses, rented a hotel down by Mount Fuji. We'd go down there and have an orientation. Hey, the Japanese come and talk to the people. One of the leaders of the Japan Union came down and talked to the people there. And he says, there's many things. I went over to Andrews and studied. He's told about being there at Andrews and studying. And he said, I watched the guy and a girl come out from the Pioneer Memorial Church. And he opened the door for the girl. And he thought, oh my, that girl doesn't have any hands. Because the man opened the door And in Japan, the girl would open the door for the man. And so he couldn't believe why that man would open the door for a girl on the car door. And then, you know, we do that for our wives still. I do still for my wife, Dottie, you know, sometimes, well, most of the time. Anyway, and he thought, she doesn't have any hands. You see the culture? My, oh, my. So we tried to make a little orientation. But anyway, the language school grew and grew, and then I went to Korea. Korea has our best program. Been able to start schools in other places. It takes time. Folks, the daycare is a winner. The North Pacific Union had their union meeting recently with all the presidents, said, folks, we need to get into the daycare business. Southern Union is the one who has led the way. They have a whole manual on operating a daycare. And so I got that manual, and when I went to pastor a church over here in Baltimore after I retired from the GCC, I tried to retire and I flunked. HMS Richard said that retirement's like Sunday keeping. It's not in the Bible. And so anyway, you know, so the daycare is a place to make contact. Now, I notice you have a lot of, what is this, little stores, what do you call them? Thrift stores. Now, folks, that's good. However, do you have some way of following it up and following those interests? Those people are coming in there. Do you have some way of doing that? If you can figure out a way to do that, then fine. Now, the daycare is a winner because you can make contacts. The language school, and I realized we could teach English forever and not baptize anybody until we started Bible classes. So everybody who comes into that thrift store, you need to find some way to really make contact with them. We have a, you know, whatever, health thing, you know. And like Lavos has taught you people how to live and lose weight and so forth. Advertise it. I'm glad you came here, but this is an important thing. I want you to come here. And so we got Bible classes going at all of our language schools. Korea, we have 70 pastors just in the language school churches alone. Just in language school churches, 70 pastors. They're giving Bible studies all the time. We're baptizing 1,000 people every 12 months. If you want to see something exciting, just fly over to Korea. Take a look, peek at what's going on. I was there last September. I told you they gave me a new watch. They gave me a new suit. This is from Korea. They gave me two pair of trousers and a new suit. This is worth $500. And you know, you make a friend in the Orient, you got a friend forever. So this verse, folks, has been fulfilled for my wife and I. The Lord is able to give thee much more than this. Say it with me. The Lord is able to give thee much more than this. Open your mouth back there, everybody. The Lord is able to give thee much more than this. What do you need today? You need a wife. You need a husband. Anybody sick? You need a job. Are you facing some crisis? Go to your room and kneel down and say, Lord, I'm claiming your promise today. Larry, come up and say a closing prayer for us, would you please?
Dear Heavenly Father, you own the cattle of 1,000 hills. Amen. With you, all things are possible, and you're able to do much more than this. Thank you, Father, for these wonderful promises, and now help us to go with those promises, Lord, to reach out to our friends and our neighbors, to proclaim your grace is my prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.